D-H-Z, go! I used to say I'm the boss. They've hit at the most. They're doing real good, yeah. I would say they're the boss. They bring real information. If you don't know, I'm Set Nation. Dropping knowledge on the daily. Really?
Really?
These boys bring it on real. D-H-Z, know what popping in the field.
Recording live from the SEC Sports Pub, here's Heath Elsonson, Tomas Mauricio, and your host, David Romero.
I mean, they know what's popping in the field.
You know what he's doing on the field.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I still don't know.
You do know.
I'm not certain.
Okay.
Saints.
Being mean to him. Look what he says.
What?
What?
I love this podcast.
He loves this podcast, and y'all picking on him.
I love this podcast too, brother.
Hey, man, that's not right. Picking
this is the
people.
Best podcast.
Now,
hey,
it's the only podcast.
It's March Madness. The excitement is palatable.
Music.
I mean, you can feel it in the air. You can cut it with a knife.
Really?
No, man. Here, it's a big thing, man. It's a big thing. For me, it's a big thing. Look.
And how are you doing so far?
I'm doing great.
You're doing great?
Yes. Now, you see, here's the thing. Everybody knows I'm from Louisiana.
Yeah.
And, you know, listen, but my business is predicated on Kentucky being successful.
That's correct.
And
so you have Kentucky winning it all?
I don't know about all that.
Oh, they're
a fun team to watch, man, but they're
Sure.
just so young. They knuckleheads.
Yeah.
You know, it's just they – I mean, some of the passes they make is just like, you know, why did you do that? Just going down court, you get past half court, and just all of a sudden you're going to chunk the ball to the other sideline – over three defenders, and they're all, you know, like between 6'6 and 7 foot.
Yeah.
Like, why did you just, and you know, it's like just momentum killers, but they pulled it out today. That means we live to fight another week.
Yeah.
That means that we now have the financial support for the podcast to go on for
another. There you go. That's
three
what I'm
months.
Talking about.
That's right. That's
Woo-hoo!
Right.
I'm going to tell you how into this tournament I've been.
Yep.
Who did Kentucky play? No, really. I mean, you
Iowa
said they
State.
Pulled it out. Really,
Iowa State. State.
I was going to say Wichita. I don't know, man. I'm just like the team in blue.
No, sorry.
The
Wichita State.
In the basket.
Wichita State.
Wichita
See, you
State.
Didn't even know either. Yeah. Wichita State.
I've been doing taxes all day,
you sure?
okay? I'm tired.
You sure it's Wichita State?
Yeah, Wichita. It's like the Okay, we had a pause. Yeah, it's not the Cyclones. It's the other ones.
I want the blue team.
Shockers.
Shockers.
I want the blue team to put the biscuit in the basket.
Yeah.
But what's funny is all my buddies know, give me hell. I'm like, look, LSU football. Sorry, you know, but you know, basketball,
yeah.
UK is king, keeps me in business, man. So
I hear you.
They win.
Well,
that's
I'm waiting any
week.
Day. I'm waiting any day to get word of the big, gigantic hiring that LSU is going to do in their basketball.
That's right.
Program.
They
Johnny right? Jones off, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
The new guy.
And I'm sure
they
this
put out
time
a word
they're going to go out. Oh, they did?
Yeah.
What happened?
Val
Kilmer.
No, man, you ever seen Val Kilmer these days?
Yeah,
the size of a freaking trailer, double wide.
I just loved him. I loved him in Tombstone. So now I know.
That was a great. That was a great movie. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Why Ike? Whatever do you mean?
Yeah.
Looks like poker's just not your game.
That's yeah. right.
Perhaps we should have a spelling contest.
Yeah, that was an awesome.
No, this
role.
Like he made but, that movie.
Yeah,
just
oh, yeah.
all those little
yeah,
things.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like. Whatever name, Nancy, I believe we have to redefine the nature of our association. I'm like,
yeah.
this dude is just
yeah.
crazy.
Big nose Kate. All right, anyway.
Big nose Kate. I forgot. Big nose Kate.
Yeah.
Oh, man. So, all right, but let's get it together. So, Malcolm Butler, big news, Malcolm Butler.
Yeah.
Deal any days, pending.
Still in New England.
Number 11.
Thank goodness.
We're giving up our number 11.
No,
and,
God,
and
no.
our number one
no.
next year.
No.
And a third this year.
No.
So that's
no.
what I'm hearing.
No,
I'm kidding. But they. I mean, we got to talk about this.
Yeah.
We got to talk about this. Let's see. Lombardi, the reporter. What's his – Vince's first name? What's
no?
Michael. That's right. Close. His cousin or something.
Yeah.
Came up with a report. Got a little word out of New England. We need to get back on track. Question of the week for you guys on the hotline. That number, Tomas, you're not paying attention. You're supposed to say, What's that number, Dave? It's, well, let me tell you.
504. That's right.
363.
Uh-huh.
You see what you know?
383.
No, 363.
No, it was 383.
I know it's 3369. I don't like
3369.
It's 383, man. Look it up.
Oh, you know what? Yeah, you're right. So 383
uh-huh.
with a 504 area code.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And then 383.
And then
3369.
There you go. Now you got
it. So listen, the call of the week. What happens if the Saints are in position to draft an impact offensive player? Do they pull the trigger at 11 on an offensive player, receiver, running back, or do they have to go defense?
So you wanted to know whether or not we've made our draft picks already. Is that what you're saying?
Because
now
saying.
That free agency is pretty much slowed down, not going to be too much now. You know, none of the Saints free agents are worth 10 cents, so nobody's worth willing to sign them.
Nobody's going there.
You know, just like, well, I don't know.
Hey, I play defense for the Saints. I had.
Yeah, I'm surprised our team hasn't been scalped the players.
Yeah,
aren't
you surprised? Yeah, all those free agents that were out there? Yeah. I know Kruger really thought he was going to be signing up with some fine team.
Yeah. He's surprised he went past the first week. He's like, all the money's gone.
Yeah.
What happened?
Exactly.
He's probably firing his agent right now.
Yeah.
I don't know what the problem is. Yeah. So
he's going to represent himself.
He's going to hire a Wu-Tang Financial.
So, okay, question of the week. Let's just use this for example. If Fournette is there at 11. Do you pick them?
No.
Not
do
you for the pick Saints,
no.
Well, I don't care what you guys think. I want to know what the people think. I don't know. So you get on that hotline, 504.
Let them decide.
383-3369.
Don't give them Fournette. Let them pick somebody who they think should be.
Okay, any offensive player. I just use Fournette as an example.
Oh, okay.
So do you have to go defense, or if the right player, whichever player you out there think, you let us know.
But you
could
think
they go
Fournette.
Offense? I just use that as an example because that.
Do you really want to hurt me?
Oh, man. All right. So
I don't know from what I've seen at the combine, he might be able to come in and play defensive end for us.
Well, there you go. That could be. That could be. Put him on defense.
Yeah. But we have a defensive end now.
We
Okafor.
Do. That's right.
So we got Okafor.
Nice
segue. We're going to talk about him. Yeah, you like that?
Yeah.
I worked on that segue. And then,
and who was it that said the last show that we were going to sign Okafor?
You did name Okafor. Who was the other the defensive back you said? I hadn't seen him sign up.
No, not yet.
Let's not talk about that.
No, he's still out there. It still might come. It might work out.
But no, you called it. I said I liked it. So, my best knowledge and recollection, which it doesn't say much, I remember that because I remember saying I liked him. But did Tomas is the one who brought it up? I'm going to have to check the tape.
Yeah, check the tape.
All right. And then lastly. No, not lastly. We got a lot of other stuff. You know how we get going. But
going to be a long show today. But go ahead.
Corey Fuller is a guy.
Defensive back.
Not this one.
Okay.
That was
so he tells me there's like 10 Corey Fullers.
Yeah.
You know, who've played
seems
in the NFL
like it anyway,
in the last 3 years. So because that's what happened. He said Corey Fuller. I'm like, we did? And then he was like, but apparently there's a whole bunch of them.
Yeah.
So
not that one. This one. The other one.
Yeah, the Corey Fuller that we got off of Detroit's practice squad.
Yeah.
6'2", runs like a 4.44, big play receiver.
Mm-hmm.
Could he be the answer? Because I think we need to talk about that Cook's role that is now open and available for someone to step into it.
Right,
could it be one a day?
Though. Step into it.
Could
Coach,
it be one a day?
Coach, my foot hurts. Coach, I don't think my foot working very good.
Got a little injury problem.
I got a little foot problem.
So y'all ready to get the show started?
I thought we already did.
No, man.
Oh, let's go, brother.
We got officially started.
Go ahead.
All right.
Tonight on BS and Beer Radio Broadcast Corporation Incorporated, it's the Action Suspense Airline Highway at 9:30. Followed by this year's award-winning suspense thriller, Camp Beast. Next, it's hilarious family fun suitable for all ages with Drew, Sean, and Mickey. Then, it's Sex in the Cell Block, the hot new show that's too racy for daytime. That's Sex in the Cell Block at 11 tonight. Then, it's Saints Talk with Dave, Tomas, Heath, and the BS and Beer podcast crew. Every night here on the BS&B Radio Broadcast Corporation Incorporated, a limited liability corporation.
All right, Tomas, he couldn't be outdone by Heath and all his homework.
I was put to shame, man.
Yeah,
last week
Heath was giving handouts and pamphlets, man, and he was doing like
pie charts. I don't have pie charts, but
look, slides that you use like the old school when you're in the classroom in high school.
Yeah.
You put what do you call it? You put the piece of clear.
Transparency.
Yeah, the transparencies.
Oh, overhead projector.
Yeah, the old school kind.
Oh, I should have printed this using that, you know, purple ink you can smell, you know.
Mimeograph.
mimeograph.
Yeah, mimeograph. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, none of us are drinking, but this has got to be the silliest opening.
Easter.
Yeah.
Easter. So it's because they're sitting there sniffing that purple ink on that mimeograph machine.
No purple mimeograph stuff. No liquor till Easter.
Wait, little did we know when we were like 8 years old, we were already huffing.
Exactly.
Wrong with us.
No, we're fine.
And we were excited about it. Ooh, hand up.
Yeah. Ooh, they're warm. And y'all all laugh because you've been there. You know exactly what I'm talking about.
Sure,
No, I'm laughing because y'all silly. I don't even know what y'all talking about.
But what do you mean you don't know what we're talking about?
Yeah, you know, he sniffed too many. You don't remember anymore.
That, you know, that could explain a lot of stuff. It's like, I don't remember ever doing these kind of things, but that's why I can't remember why. You know, it's a vicious cycle.
At Notre Dame, they didn't have that, right?
That's right. I guess they put out the good stuff.
Little Sister Mary didn't.
The poor, they couldn't afford that.
They couldn't afford that.
So, Tomas.
Yes, sir.
Let's talk about your homework here. Saints salary cap situation, according to the...
The latest NFLPA records, we're a little over $6 million left of all of our money. And I had some... I made a list here. This is like a compilation of different people who put stuff out. You can see we've already talked about how they re-signed Keogh and Banjo. The contracts aren't that much. And then you have, of course, Coleman signed his tender. Snead is not. They're still working out that deal.
I hear they're trying to work a long-term deal.
Yeah, that's what they're trying to work out. Coon signed a one-year vet minimum. And, of course, the surprising one to me was the Fairley deal.
Yeah.
4 years at $30 million, And like the story went that you had said, Dave, that he just told his agent, dude, just work it out with the Saints. I'm not going anyplace else. So that's why they got a really good deal.
It surprised me, but,
And they just re-signed Tavares Cadet.
Oh, thank God. Thank God.
Yeah,
I mean, I was really, really worried.
The fortunes of our offense.
That we may have an offensive drop off.
So that's that one. And then the new players, of course, Okafor, which is a great deal, 1 year for $3
million.
Yep. Warford, 4 years for 34. I'm not so happy with that, but it's okay. Ginn, 3 years, 11. Pretty okay. Klein, 3 year, 15. A little high, but okay. And then we have Jesse Schmidt, and I couldn't get any more information, but apparently
Schmidt's right up Schmidt's Creek.
Our current long snapper is actually
about silliness.
Yeah, our current long snapper is a free agent that we have not offered a contract to.
Drescher. Yeah, we've kind of been trying to get rid of Drescher for a few years. It seems like
because we brought in somebody last year that I thought was going to be the catch, but I didn't have any numbers. No one seemed to have numbers. Then these reserve future deals, at the end of the season, they sign a bunch of kids. So Big Hill, Adam, he's the guy from Canada that they talked about, as is Gator, the cornerback. And Hightower was another big name that they talked about, these three guys. LaFrance is the kid from Tulane that they had last year on the team at defensive. I don't remember exactly, but... Then Fullington is a guy that we saw last year, on and off, a young guy who might have something. Grayson is the quarterback of the future. And then Garrett Griffin is the kid from Air Force, I want to say. He was the military kid at tight end. And Mabry was on the team already. And, of course, the guy who I liked on here was the half-handed kid, the Williams Lambert.
Yeah, but you forgot Stoneburner.
Well, he's on there.
Stoneburner. You just forgot to mention him. If nothing else, he may not make the roster. You got to at least say it,
And then in the back of the sheet, I got all the free agents that haven't been offered. These are the kids
He's going double-sided. The wealth of talent.
These are the ones that people like New England are interested in, the Green Bay Packers. Anyway, I don't see much on here. I still believe that they'll re-sign Lolita. I still think that. And I still think Tapp will probably get a contract as well. But that's just about the only people I see on this list. They talked about Sterling Moore. I don't know if it's worth bringing him back for a contract, unless he's going to come back for the vet minimum.
Right, apparently he was out there looking for a decent deal, $3-4 million a year or whatever, and he just has no market.
He's still looking.
And I don't blame him Listen, in hindsight, he came in, and the first game he played – okay, maybe he played more than this. I just didn't realize it, but it's like the first game he played really well.
Yeah.
And a couple of games.
And I remember he played the Giants, Beckham. He played Beckham.
Well, that
really
was his first game.
That was his first game,
right? He had a past history of shutting down Beckham in the past. He came in and played really well in that game.
And I remember thinking to myself, man, how the hell is a guy like this on the street?
Yeah.
And we can't – he lived off of that game for quite a while. And then just little by little, you know, you give the guy a benefit of the doubt after he impresses you. And little by little, it's like, oh, man, he blew that one up. And then next thing you know, no, he was still the best of the lot, you know, Webb and the other guys. And I don't want to say it because I don't want Tomas to get mad at me. But, he was still the best of the lot, but that doesn't say much, so.
Yeah.
Well, like anything, when he came in the first game, I mean, they knew a little bit about him on the other team, the Giants. They probably just didn't do their due diligence in really, you know, studying his
weaknesses
previous game film.
Yeah.
And then I think it caught up with him after by the time you get to the third game, the other offensive coordinators are going, okay, what are the weaknesses? Let's drive it home.
Go after him, yeah.
So I think that's what basically happened to him. But, you know, again, without mentioning names, I believe we have younger kids on the team who, given an opportunity to build up their strength over the break and learn a little bit more and get a little bit more coaching, I think he won't even
that
make the
said,
team.
If he was willing to re-sign for next to nothing –
they take him.
And you didn't have the injury problems. Moore is a nice guy to see down the line.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Exactly.
Down the depth chart.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. But what I'm saying to you is they have a lot of depth at DB in the draft. We have a couple of kids that have no real experience other than they were just thrown in the fire because we had nobody else.
Right.
I mean, if they really got some coaching, and like we've always said, you know, between your first and second year, you put on 10 to 15 pounds of muscle.
Experience,
you know, and
confidence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
You know, I give you a lot of crap, but I'm going to be interested. I'm not saying it's going to make it, but there is a part of me that's going to be interested in seeing what Crowley can do.
Yeah.
And if he can make a big step. Because, you know, listen, the expectations were high. You want him to, but when you stop, look, the dude was an undrafted free agent rookie and thrown out there because of all these injuries. Huh. And so I gave him a hard time, and he did fail a lot. But having said that, what would you expect?
But every once in a while, he gave you
and that's it. He would show you a flash every once in a while. Even the play that it sticks in my head. Man, he was against the Giants. He was in position to make a game-changing interception. And if he just makes that play, all of a sudden, I might feel completely different about him. It's just like, man. But the point is, I having an offseason to give it some thought, I'm going to be really interested in seeing if he makes a step or if he just comes out and is the same guy he was when the season ended. Now. So, because one of the things that, you know, same thing with Garrett Grayson, is you start seeing the signs. Like, well, why is he not, why are they re-signing the, you know, McCown?
Here's the real,
Let me finish this thought. That he didn't play much at the end of the season.
Yeah.
So that starts saying that even the coaches kind of soured on him.
Yeah.
But I still, look, he has all the physical. He's a big guy. He can run. And I'm going to be interested. I'm going to keep an eye on him. And there's a part of me that's like making jokes, but hoping to see him do something. Mm-hmm. You know.
Well, like I was going to say, the writing's on the wall for him, though, because Philadelphia just released a quarterback that
– Grayson.
Oh, you're talking about Grayson.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, didn't you say Grayson the quarterback?
No. I was using that as an analogy. Okay. I was talking about Crowley.
Keep
an eye on him.
But you were talking about Grayson
as
well.
Yeah.
Whereas Crowley, I don't think they signed anybody that we would say, oh, well, this kid's gone. You know,
he's going to get a shot in training camp.
But
at
quarterback, you know, the kid who was here backing up
Daniel.
Drew, you know.
Chase.
Oh, Chase. Daniel.
Yeah. Look. No S.
Yeah. Look.
No yeah. S. Daniel.
Daniel.
He asked for his release. He got his release. And as a matter of fact, Sunday, he was at Saints camp being going through the tryout and everything else.
That'd be interesting upgrade. That back
I'm just saying to you that
I don't
that
see,
doesn't bode well
yeah.
for Garrett Grayson.
No, it really doesn't.
No. It doesn't bode well for Garrett Grayson. But the money Daniel probably want. I don't think he gives you anything better than what McCown is.
Well, and you're not going to get rid of McCown because it's that
well, they're
factor
not keep
between.
Both.
No, they're going to keep McCown because it's the factor between Breeze and McCown. Breeze likes the fact that he's got McCown on the sidelines, and when he comes to the sideline, he's got an experienced guy who's got lots of years in the NFL. Tell him, hey, did you see this? Did you see this? Let's look at this play over here. As opposed to Garrett Grayson's going to come over and go, gee, I don't know, Drew. What do you think?
You need some more coffee, Drew?
Yeah, exactly. You know, can I carry your bags?
No, but as it relates to Daniel, though, Daniel was that guy once before.
Yeah, but I don't think that
he still don't. I don't know that he still doesn't have the experience.
But I'm just saying, from Garrett Grayson's perspective, bringing in any other quarterback is not a good sign for him.
No, no. I mean, I think the writing's already been. Look, they invested a third round draft pick, and then he ends up getting cut. I don't think that he obviously had to know that the writing's on the wall. That I'm surprised the Saints even brought him.
Although back. Ryan Griffin just got re-signed by Tampa Bay.
Really? No, I did not know that.
Give him too long.
All right, so let's move forward here.
All right, so
let's talk to me the big subject of the week, Malcolm Butler, and the information that's come out throughout the week. I kept waiting all week long after he came in. Apparently, had a good meeting.
Yeah.
And I just knew it was a matter of time. I assume because of all the discussions going around that everyone kind of felt that there was a deal already in place. It was just a matter of getting Malcolm over there, negotiate a deal.
A continuation of the Cooks deal.
It was just they couldn't get it all. The assumption was they couldn't get it all done at one time, which I never really bought into.
He hadn't signed his tender, so he couldn't be part of the trade.
Right, but if they wanted to, then he could have signed it. And, my point is that.
Well, my word was that he didn't want to come to the Saints.
That's what I heard. That's what
I
heard.
And that's why he didn't sign a tender, because he didn't want to be part of the deal.
But, I think as a player, if they were trying to – I would probably leave fingernail marks in the door frame if they were trying to push me out of New England.
Right, right.
Where the hell else do I want to go? Unless somebody's, really offering some big-time money or whatever. But I don't know. The latest word, is that they want the number 11 pick for him, and no.
So
no way.
So I didn't feel like many Saints fans, and we talked about it last week, who just freaked out when the Saints traded Cooks and they only got the 32nd pick, and their overinflated idea of his worth.
Right.
Having said that, I made the point that, listen, tell me a team that has traded a first-round pick for a guy and given him a huge contract. So the point is that I know the market has dried up already, but having said that, and it's this year and it's Drew Brees's, we don't waste any more time. But you know what? If you have that kind of money, why would you give up a first-round draft pick when you could just go sign a guy if you have the money to give it to him anyway? Just sign a guy next year or whatever. So the word comes out that Michael Lombardi, who is closely affiliated with the Patriots.
Yeah, he was an assistant.
Now, why, I don't know, but obviously the Patriots – communicated that through him for us to hear. Now, why he did it, I don't know.
Yeah.
But I will say this. If the Saints give up a first round, even the 32nd pick, I will throw a fit. I'll throw a Saints fit, a Saints fan fit, the way that they threw about Cooks.
Oh, shit.
I'm just like, what the?
Way bigger than the way it went.
Yeah, why do it? Just get yourself a cornerback, and I get it. You don't know if he's going to make it, Malcolm. But I'm not completely sold on Malcolm Butler to begin with. If I have to give up the money, you say money's money. But I don't want to give up on a young prospect. And I know there's arguments. You don't know if that prospect's going to make it or not. You don't know if any of them are going to make it or not. Jarius Byrd was a proven player. We paid him all this money, comes here, gets injured. You have no idea what the future of any of these players are.
Right.
But to me, I am not giving away, because essentially what you're doing is giving the money for a huge free agent and a first-round draft pick, which is a potential playmaker.
Right.
So just to me, I am not giving all that up. And if we do, and then I hear the 11th pick, and I'm just like, you out of your mind. I'm sure they're asking for it.
Right.
But ask all you want. If the Saints give it up, I would just say they are complete idiots, and this is why we have been in the position that we – you see, I'm already giving them a hard time. They haven't even done it yet. So New England asked for a first round 11th pick, and I'm already giving the Saints a hard time just because they asked for it.
Yeah.
So maybe I'm jumping the gun a bit, but I'm just like, this better not be seriously considered.
Yeah, I agree. Who was it? The Texans, I think, have offered,
second
50
round.
Some odd pick or whatever it was. So right away, I'm thinking, okay, well, we have the 42nd pick.
We got them beat.
We got them. And even if it took that pick in a mid-round pick next year. A lot of people have been throwing that around. Maybe a second this year and a third or a fourth next year, some kind of combination like that. Okay, whatever. I don't want to give them the 32nd pick, really.
Right, no, I don't either.
I damn sure don't want to give them number 11.
11 is bitch fit mode.
Yeah.
32nd, I'm disappointed, and I'm like, but maybe you live with it.
Yeah.
I'm thinking you give him the second and a fourth next year. But I even think second. Like, now I know we have really no choice because now that you hear the Texans, if it's true. Although, think about all the things we heard. Now, this week I heard that the Eagles never offered Malcolm Jenkins to the Saints in a deal. Now, maybe it's just so damage control going on now with everybody.
It's hard to say, what's reality. But.
Well, I just – All the things that you all have said, is I would agree with the majority of what you said. We'll never know what Tennessee offered and what Philadelphia offered, because it's not going to be ever divulged, really. As Dave said, it was an inflated idea of what Cooks is worth. My wife scolded me to make sure I say the S. So, Cooks.
Yeah.
What we got for him, I think, was the best deal that was on the board. I don't think necessarily, with the exception of us giving up the fourth. You know, I do think that Belichick knew full well, hey, I got a fourth pick that I got to give up. Give me your fourth, and that way I don't have to give up mine because of the penalty. So I think that that was the part where I was not happy with. But, okay, fine. Now, to me, when you study, as I've been studying, the upcoming draft, there are just way too many good DBs in the draft. Now, I know Malcolm Butler's proven. He's proven to what, okay? Because if I'm looking at Malcolm Butler, he's made his claim to fame on a stupid play call by Pete Carroll in a Super Bowl. Okay? And that was more coaching than anything else. The coaches knew that they were going to call that play eventually. And so he was in the right place. Great. Fantastic. They keep talking about a shutdown. I think he's a good cornerback. I think he's improved since he first started. But I don't put him in the same categories we talked about last time with the kid that went from Carolina to Washington, Norman. He's a much better cornerback than Malcolm, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And if you're talking about paying this guy $13 million, which, by the way, we don't have, $13 million and giving up a number 11, well, I guess Mr. Benson at his 90-year-old party must have had quite a few little Mickeys slipped his way to think this is true. You know?
Yeah.
This deal is not worth that. And if I'm Mickey Loomis, may I say to you, Mr. Loomis, you've had some pretty crappy deals to this point. Here's redemption time for you. Offer them little. Get the guy his contract. Figure out a way to do it. And I'm good. But if they're going to try to hold you hostage for a one, either 11 or 32, I tell them, you know what, take a walk. Don't let the knob hit you on the way out, you know, and there it is. And let them try to peddle a guy who doesn't want to go back because they just paid for a guy from Buffalo, right?
Yeah.
They paid him a hell of a lot more. They paid him $13, $14 million. So you know damn well that Malcolm Butler's not going to go back to that team and go, well, what position do I play? You know, do you want that cancer in your locker room? You know, the Saints have all the chips on their side, you know, and winners don't compromise. So learn that lesson, Mr. Loomis. You know, sorry to be a Harvey Hardass, but the time has come for that. You know, we have some really good draft picks. We have five in the first 100 and 203. You know, if we draft wisely, we can come up with a real core for this team. And as I've said before, and I still believe this, you can win a Super Bowl with – establishing a core and have players in their second and third years step up with low contracts, you know, workable contracts, but you can't do it when you're playing a bunch of guys who you've overpaid, because that's all free agency is. Free agency is nothing but overpaid players, in my opinion. So, all right, there you go. I vented for that.
You know, listen, I get it. I think that Malcolm Butler's a good cornerback. I think he would make the Saints a better team. But at what point are you willing to give away all that, a first-round draft pick and $13 million, which you pointed out we don't have.
No, we don't.
And that means that's why they went up to
Armstead.
Armstead and is trying to work his contract so that they have more money available.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just don't think it's – listen, if it was one of the people, and I can't think of a name off the top of my head, if it was one of the people who just a top-notch, was super athletic, because I've said this 1,000 times on the show, and I'm sorry for repeating myself. Listening to NFL Network on Sirius Radio, Bill Polian pointed out that Bird was not a great athlete to begin with.
Yeah.
You get some injuries, now you go from being an average athlete to a below average athlete, and you just can't compete. Malcolm Butler, I've gone and done the research, and I get it. You know, y'all gave me crap because I texted y'all some stuff. At the end of the day,
I laughed my behind off.
And it's true. Yeah. It's true. I'll be the first one to say, hey, man, you know, like football's not playing a 40-yard dash or whatever. But when you just look at his athletic numbers, they're not impressive. What I thought I would see is like, oh, he ran a slow 40. Because this happens. Just because a guy doesn't run a fast 40 doesn't mean his change of direction isn't phenomenal.
Right.
And I was looking for, okay, a guy, meaning I went to investigate Malcolm Butler. I know he went to a small school in Alabama. I know that he was undrafted. So I'm saying, okay, what did they miss whenever I went looking? And I was comparing him to the guys who are going to be first and second round draft picks this year. Yeah. And nothing stood out. No. His 40 was slow. His vertical, I thought, oh, listen, I bet you he's going to have this great vertical that shows he's a great athlete, just doesn't have great straight line speed. No, all of it was average to almost below average. So whatever, he must be a very smart, heady player that understands his assignments, has great reaction skills, great instincts. But then again, and again, I'm not saying I'm right. I'm telling you what's going through my mind. Then I think to myself, Bird. Okay, so Malcolm Butler comes in, boom, okay, twists his ankle. He's out for 4 or 5 weeks. He comes back, and he can't quite get up to speed because he's not. Like, if I'm going to spend $13 million and give a first-round draft pick, I want to go look at the numbers and say, man, this guy came out of college running 4.28. You know, he's 212 pounds. He's 6'1". He got everything you could possibly want to give up those kind of resources.
Yeah.
But I just don't think Butler – and then they start talking about, like, here's the negatives that people are talking about. They start pointing out all the quarterbacks that the New England played against. Now, obviously, they won the Super Bowl. They beat some good teams to get there. But, man, I didn't realize how down the AFC was.
Yeah.
I mean, they showed – you know, they played Pittsburgh when they didn't have Roethlisberger. They played the Jets twice. The quarterbacks they played is just bad.
Tannehill was out for Miami, so they're playing against some guy that's been sitting on the bench for 22 months. You know,
and more.
Yeah,
I don't know what it was.
And so, you know, it's like I look at this, and I'm not saying that these say, oh, he's not good. It's just there's nothing that you can look at and say, ah, you see. Yeah, he might not be a great athlete, but look, he shut down this guy. He shut down that guy.
Well, just look at the Atlanta game. That's the best game to look at. In the Atlanta game, he couldn't keep up with Julio.
Well, okay.
Not that there are a lot of people that can.
So here's what I'm looking at. Besides, okay, so the numbers you saw. The numbers you saw from his combine and all is the reason why he wound up being an undrafted free agent.
That's correct.
So now he comes into New England. Well, we know he's going to get really good coaching in New England.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
He also just may so happen to be that he really fits whatever scheme it is, that whatever it was that they're running, he fit it, okay? Whatever he did have, fit that to a T. There's also a reason why New England went out and gave Gilmore $13 million or whatever a year,
well.
And they're looking to shop this guy,
okay?
New England doesn't make those kind of mistakes. New England always gets rid of the guy a year early instead of a year too late.
Yep.
There's a reason why they're willing to let this guy go.
Yep.
Do you want to give New England 11 pick for a guy that they're trying to get rid of? Not me.
Not me either.
Not me.
Or the
32nd. Or the 32nd pick, really. You know.
My thing is this. Again, we all could be completely wrong, and I think we understand that. He could come.
Oh, he might.
And just be a game-changing player for us.
Could be.
What I'm saying is what I'm seeing – because I knew who Malcolm Butler was, but not in depth. The more stuff I look at, the more I see, the more stuff I read, I'm like, people say he's good. But then everything I look at says, I don't see anything that really proves it to me. I don't see great athleticism. I don't see, man, he shut down great players. One of the other things they talked about is in New England's scheme, he did not cover the other team's best receiver.
Mm-hmm.
He was the guy where they doubled their strategy is to double your best receiver, then put Malcolm Butler on your number two.
Right.
So, like, man, I want somebody, if I'm giving up a first and paying that kind of jack, I want somebody who I say, you go shut down Julio Jones. Now, I get Julio Jones is not going to get shut down all the time.
No, but we have to play him twice a season.
Right.
And then you got to go look at Tampa Bay, got Mike Williams. You got to play him twice a season.
Yep. Benjamin, you know.
Yeah, what's the other guy, not Benjamin, the other one?
Oh, the one you like that came from Michigan,
The
Funchess.
Funchess.
Yeah. So
because he's a big, tall, rangy guy
with
long arms.
And I'm just like nothing about this says I'm looking for the thing that makes me get excited. And quite frankly, I just don't see it. I don't see the things except for people saying, no, he's really good. He's one of the best cornerbacks in the league. And I'm like,
and I think he's hit the nail on the head. If they really wanted him, they could have paid less than the $13 million they paid for the kid from for Gilmore.
Right.
Because he wanted 11. He didn't want 13. So they could have signed him for 11 and saved their other $2 million. So why did they say, no, I don't
New
think
England,
so.
I think New England's sending out a tape. They sending out a video on Butler to all prospective teams that they're trying to. And it's to play from the Super Bowl on loop over and over
exactly.
and over again.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. And they just, if you look at it long enough, eventually you're going to go, man, this guy's worth 13 million. He made that play in the Super Bowl. Because yeah. other than that, I don't know if anybody would even really know who the hell Butler was.
I mean, I watched Nick Underhill. We just talked about him. Yeah. He does a great job of – he's not just one of those hacks that come in and just writes an article and it's all an opinion and might throw a stat in there. He goes in and does some in-depth work. And you have to give the guy kudos.
Yeah, I like
him. And
yeah.
he put in – he's by far my favorite Saints cover guy, you know, whether it's a radio. But, and he just put together Malcolm Butler's, you know, tape, and he finds him to be a good player. And I trust his judgment. I just – again, I don't see the $13 million in a first-round draft pick. And I could be completely wrong, but I'm just not excited about it, so –
just think about what will be there at 11. I mean,
see, 11's an afterthought. I'm not even like that. To me, is New England threw that out there,
right? But okay, so go to 32. Think about what's going to be there at 32.
Here's the problem that the Saints still have, and this is the only reason why I think they're still carrying on with this whole Butler thing, and maybe they're even considering all this with the. You got, you know, and I know it's hard because you know Drew Brees keeps playing and he keeps looking pretty good and everything, and. Not pretty good. He keeps looking damn good, quite frankly, up to this point. But at what point do the Saints say, we got to leave this, the window's closing, sign this guy and because he's more proven than the rookie who might come in that we draft and doesn't make it, and then we don't, you know. And we just, you know, I think that's where the Saints are at, you know. And they've made a lot of these moves that put us in cap hell over the past several years because we were in win-now mode, you know. Yeah, Drew Brees' window is only going to stay open for so long. We got to do this. Right. And so I think the Saints are perpetually in that cycle. And we've seen in the past that Loomis and Peyton or whoever it is that's actually calling those shots oftentimes wind up willing to make those kinds of deals to try
to. That's why I say it's time for them to wake up and realize that, look, you've made some good – let's look at what we've done so far. Getting fairly in –
yeah,
is an unbelievably good step forward, in my opinion. I mean, as you and I were talking about off air, I think last week, right? Can you imagine what our defensive line is going to be like if all these guys come back and they're all healthy?
Yeah.
I mean, you've got Fairley, you've got Davison, you've got the kid who's a rookie this year.
Onyemata.
Rankins. Onyemata.
Yeah.
You know, then you got the guy who's been there all his time, you know, Jordan. Yeah. You know, I mean. When you look at that defensive line.
That's a lot of talent.
Absolutely. So now you're talking just linebacker. Now, okay, picked up this kid Klein. They think he's going to be the answer
player.
In the middle.
I don't think he's all world, but he's going to be an improvement.
And we already know what Robertson can do. So if we bring him in to be what we thought he was going to be, which is a spell for Ellerby, and if Ellerby can play half the games, and we've got already our linebacker's gotten better. You know? So to me, okay, the defensive back. Look how terrible we've been for 2 years at defensive back. Well, we no longer have Browner. We no longer have Bird. Those were, you know, it's addition by subtraction, you know, in my opinion. You know, and let's see what else the kids that we already have, what they can do. And the couple of kids that they signed from Canada, Harris, who was last year, looked pretty good until he got hurt. You know, we're talking about safety. Well, he looked pretty good playing safety, and he's a big rangy guy.
Yeah.
So to me, wake up. We've got 5 really solid picks in the first 100 picks. For gosh sake, if 3 out of 5 hit,
no, and that's
bingo.
That's a good point. It's unlike a normal draft where you have, you know, each of these picks, you have a chance one might miss, but that's why having more picks is better than training them all away from one guy. That one guy busts,
and who else is masters at that? New England.
Yeah,
exactly.
Right. New England plays the compensatory pick game,
and
they also play the trade back and get multiple pick games.
Yeah.
And that's how come they're always in this position, and we're always on the other side looking to potentially grab from, you know, scrap from their table. Yeah. I mean, so far the moves that they made wouldn't make you think that the Saints would be heading in a direction of giving up a number 11 for a Butler type deal, right?
Yeah.
They've done smart deals so far. Absolutely. You know, they haven't, and so it seems out of character right now for the way the Saints are thinking that they would be considering giving up a number 11 pick.
Well, but you know, I read an article. I can't remember now who it was by, and I'm sorry I can't give them credit. But it was an article recently, either yesterday or the day before, about how the Saints have been snake-bitten at defensive back since their inception.
Yeah. You know?
They're one of the few teams who has not had a Pro Bowler from the defensive backfield in the last 10 years. You know, you think about it, it's like, really? Yeah, the last two good quarters that they had were Jabari Greer on one side and Tracy Porter on the other side. Okay, we won a Super Bowl that year. You know, since then, ain't got squat. You know, and before that, we didn't have, I mean, I can still remember the days of Vivian Leigh, for God's sake.
Oh,
you know,
God.
Or that terrible trade that we made with Baltimore for David. You know, it was like, oh my Jason gosh, you know, have you lost your mind? Yeah. You know, you remember Jason David?
Yeah, but he was a free agent. It wasn't a trade.
I actually thought he came from the Colts.
Colts.
Yeah,
so
you said
Colts.
Okay. Yeah,
I'm sorry.
Thinking,
Colts. Yeah, Colts.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Anyway.
Alex Molden.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I mean, that out there.
I mean, you have all these kids that, you know, they supposedly traded for. Look, it's time. To say, look, if we rebuild it, we rebuild it. As Heath said, man, look at Breeze. I mean, last year, those were serious numbers last year because they weren't numbers made up because we were losing by 50 points and he's just throwing the ball the whole time.
No.
Those were legitimate numbers that he threw up last year.
Absolutely.
You know?
Guy just keeps getting it done, man.
Yeah. So to me, maybe we have 3-4 years still left with this guy. If that's the case, then look, you did great last year with the core of people you got. We got 5 picks? Man, put another core together like last year. If you have 2 consecutive drafts like we did last year and have it again this year, by next year, we're prime. Right. With these free agents that they sign, we're prime. We're right on the right place. You know, so
don't squander it trying to risk getting a guy that's a questionable kind of thing. So.
Yeah.
All right, let's hit a quick break. We kind of went long.
All right.
And then we got a couple of more subjects to touch on. Before we do, don't forget the question of the week. Give us a call on the hotline, 504-383-3369. And the question is,
do you want us to sign Fournette? Isn't that
no.
the question you had?
Let's say if the offensive player that you think is a game changer there, could we go offense in the first round at 11? Or do we have to go defense? Give us a call. Let us know what you think. We'll be right back.
Do you know what radio program is the longest continuously running commentary show in Kentucky? That would be Advocates for America, hosted by yours truly, Tomas Mauricio. Monday through Friday, 12 to 3, on 1230 WHIR in Danville, Kentucky. Whether it's politics or current events, sports or food, you and I will converse, analyze, evaluate, and maybe even have a good laugh. From Main Street Danville to 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, no subject is off limits, no topic is taboo. So join me. Live, Monday through Friday, from noon to 3. Or listen to the show at your convenience via podcast at hometownlive.net, where patriots and advocates are always welcome.
You're listening to the BS and Beer Podcast. Now back to your two yats and a coon ass.
All right. It's Sunday night. NCAA basketball tournament, all the games going on. There's still people here. Usually Sunday by now, everybody's in bed. But there's still people
drinking.
Watching the games.
I mean, watching the game,
you know, unwinding from a big weekend of basketball. Uh-huh. It was actually a really fun and exciting weekend, so I had a good time. Business is good. Life's good. But
don't forget about next weekend. You have more games.
You
have plenty of screens here. Every game will be on.
All right.
Everybody should be happy. You're going to have some beer specials.
We just need more Saints fans. I went to Sam's Club today, and I saw a guy with a Saints jacket on.
Yeah.
And I was like, who
dude.
That?
Uh-huh.
And he looked at me like I was stupid. I mean, so I'm like, man. You know, you think you'd have a kindred bond. You know, hey, man. But and it didn't work that way.
Well, this is why for draft day, everybody needs to come in because we'll be there on draft day. So all the Saints fans need to come by. And also all the Bengals fans and the Colts fans and everybody else who's in this area.
You know, let me tell you,
I'm trying to help you out, brother.
I feel you, but I had an epiphany. See, like I'm, now that we've done this podcast this long, I don't look at the stats as like I used to look at them like every day.
Yeah.
And now, like our listenership, you know, just keeps going up and up and up.
Yeah.
And we're getting to the point where you would think that once people find out that like there's like the home of the Saints,
yes,
here in Lexington, that we would get those Saints fans in, and maybe some of it has to do with the Saints just haven't been playing that well. And but you know, I would think that
everybody's a Saints fan is a hardcore Saints fan.
Yeah, you know, maybe not here in Lexington though. So well, anyway, so I'm looking for
hang a big Florida Lee out in front.
I'm looking to get some of those people out. Yeah, we have to just change the storefront sign.
There you go.
Yeah, that's a good idea, yeah. Tomas. All right, so let's talk a little Okafor.
Okafor.
We're gonna talk.
He's a hell of a center. Hoping the Pelicans were gonna.
You're
talking about different Okafor.
Yeah, there you go. Okay.
What you Okan for?
Mm-hmm. Okan for.
Anyway, good player. I had some injury issues.
Yeah.
We signed him to a modest deal. He's obviously looking to, you know,
to fairly his career.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Wow.
Exactly.
How long have you been waiting for that one?
Hey,
I like that.
Man. Yep.
Just, you know, he saw what, you know what, I wonder how much has to do with, like, hey, look, Fairley went there on a modest deal. Yep. They gave him a chance to, just to revive his career.
And he told me he didn't even want to hear what other teams were interested
in. By the time
the
Saints get finished with you, you're ruined for all other teams.
Yeah, that's right.
That's right. So, but
bowls of gumbo, you're done.
He's an 8-sack guy.
Okafor, close to okra, so, I mean, there you go.
Oh, God. That's a little bit of a stretch.
Yeah, we reach
a
little bit.
But he's an 8-sack guy. I think that the potential's there that he could, maybe I'm making a stretch. Maybe I'm trying to. But, you know, like, he could be a guy that could be a backup guy. I mean, is
rotational?
I guess.
Rotational?
Here's the question. Is he an upgrade to Darryl Tapp? That's the question. If he is. I know you're going to say this. So maybe he's right now, Tomas is kind of looking to the left, looking to the right, thinking a little bit. So maybe I'll put it this way and I'll watch his face light up. Is he an upgrade to Paul Kruger?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah,
now we're talking.
Yeah. So
now we're talking.
So the point is that I do think that he's an upgrade. How much he's going to give us, I don't know. I think he has the potential to be a guy that could be, you know, again, I'm not trying to talk about a difference maker, but a guy that's like, hey, man, we got 7 sacks out of him. That would be good.
Well, and based on what he's done to this point, and knowing that Dennis Allen is not a guy who's just going to play one straight defense, he'd be a good option for a variety of defenses that we could call on the field. I mean, if you think about it that way, you know, throwing it out there.
I didn't have this on the list, and y'all going to have to help me. But, you know, a guy that we were excited about who we kind of just got lost in the shuffle. What's the kid's name that we got off the from Seattle, the defensive end? It's, you know, he was a receiver.
Watch him.
Yeah,
is that what you're thinking about?
Yeah, you know, I'm like, wonder what happened to that guy. I know he's
gone.
Still on the team. He's not gone. He's still on.
He will be.
Well, more than likely. They making an effort. God, can you imagine? We go out there and spend
well, your
the first
boy,
round.
Edabali's gone.
He's
going
to be sitting next to – I was going to say, he'll be next to Edabali on
well,
the bus.
Well, no, I'm looking at it more positively. We go and we invest a first rounder in a 11 into a pass rusher.
Mm-hmm.
We get defensive end, and we get another guy in the third round because we're trying to double up, make sure. And then all of a sudden, Kakaha comes back and his knee's 100% and watch him turns into a player. Well, okay, now I'm just – I probably should have
– But it could be.
Took
I mean,
a nap and
hey,
dreamed about that.
Well, it could,
we could be.
We
could be deep. I mean, there's a lot of guys – there are several guys on the team that has a lot of potential.
Yeah.
And you never know, man. I mean
– That means that we could spend all of our draft choices on offense because then, you know, with that kind of core at the defensive line and that kind of core at linebacking – You don't have to worry about the defensive backs. They want to
just sack the quarterback.
That's right, exactly right. You know, so then we can spend all of our five picks on the offense.
I feel like this segment.
Every receiver and every Scott back out there. Oh, Sean Payton will be salivating.
Salivating. All right. Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, I think we grasping at straws there. I told y'all about one of my dreams of having multiple defensive ends sacking the quarterback, and it just took off from
there. Yeah, well, you know, for Okafor, it's all going to be about whether or not he can stay on the field.
Yes.
You know, that's basically what it boils down to. So is he an upgrade over Tapp?
Because Top can stay on the field.
Yeah.
So
that's what it'll get. Not if he can't stay on the field. If he can stay on the field, I think there's a good chance that he could exceed what Top.
Now, even if he doesn't stay on the field, he's still an upgrade from Kruger. So there you go.
Right.
Right.
He's not an upgrade to our backup who only played, 20% of
right.
the snaps.
But he's way
definite,
better than the starter.
Way better than the starter. But you know what? Having said that, it's hard to argue with him. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
At least Tap, we don't know that he sucked. With Kruger, there was no doubt.
How many? All right, just put it this way. And I don't have the stats in front of me, but how many sacks or hurries, rushes, did Kruger have as compared to Tapp, with Kruger being a full-time guy and Tapp being a backup?
Right.
Yeah.
From what I can remember.
Well, and what I don't understand, I mean, God, I still, for the life of me, I cannot figure out why the Saints decided to sign Kruger right before the season started, immediately insert him as a starter and leave him there all year long for a guy that did absolutely nothing.
Nothing. Nothing.
I mean, it makes you wonder what, I can remember
Tap being, his name being called out on rushes, on tackles in the field.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I can't remember hearing Kruger's name one time. I think he had one sack that I can remember.
Yeah,
that's it.
Kruger might have had one sack.
And it stood out. I mean, it was like, holy
fumble,
shit, was that
yeah, something?
Kruger, if I'm not mistaken, I could be a little bit off. It's not going to be much. He had one sack. That's only one sack more than me, and I didn't even play.
So right there, that
tells you.
I mean, keeping him off of the field, you might have got the tackle to get, like, perplexed and stumble around or something and fall down because he couldn't figure out who. I mean, he might have done – it's kind of like Browner. I honestly think that they would have played better if they had just took Browner off the field completely.
That's a whole segment right there. Yeah, I agree. Right. Like, to me, it had to be not enough money. Like, at what point did you – I say not enough money. I mean that they just didn't have enough players. I mean, just put them on the bench. But then what you would have had is a player blowing up in the locker room causing problems. That's the only thing I can imagine because let's look at Webb and Sterling Moore. Did they play better than Browner did? And I would say – absolutely.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's like, get rid of Browner and let's play with these
guys.
There
you go.
Yeah.
Kruger, 19 tackles, 1.5 sacks.
Okay. So he had 1.5 sacks more than me this year.
Yeah.
And they didn't pay me a nickel. I think we need to.
And that half was, he was close enough when he tripped and fell on top of the pile.
He fell down and the guy got flushed in his direction and tripped. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. There you go.
All right. So, another guy, real quick. Hightower was visiting a couple of teams, and I'm talking about the running back.
Yeah.
So what are your thoughts of should we bring him back? Is he someone that
Look, I like Hightower. I really do. He came in. It's a good story, guy coming back from the injuries that he had. He really played hard for the Saints. He runs hard. It's a good story, and I like him. But I really want to see the Saints, like, upgrade. You know what I mean? And that's nothing against Hightower at all. But, man, I think, and this is another thing. It's about whether or not this guy's going to be able to stay on the field or not. But I really want to see what Lasko
is
going to bring to the table. Yep. I mean, if he could stay on the field, I think he could certainly give you that and more.
Based on the fact that Hightower hasn't re-signed yet, I have to believe the Saints have at least a minimal amount of confidence in Lasko. And there was a point during the season, and I talked about it every week, so it's nothing new, where they were giving him in the second quarter a series.
And
he'd get two carries, six plays, and, he'd pick up 4 yards. I mean, I'm like, man, and I noticed that they were trying to give him a few more snaps every game.
Yeah.
And so I think the Saints do like him. Now, if it amounts to anything, we still don't know. It's way too early. But I think they do have enough confidence to say, I think this kid can be a backup. Now, having said that, I never thought much about running back in the draft. Maybe not a starter, maybe not, but
there's a good handful of these satellite-type back guys in this draft.
I've seen a lot of people talking about the kid from Ohio State.
Well, yeah, he's definitely in the eight.
He's a receiver and a running back.
He's going to probably be a first-round pick. But there's some other guys later on that come from, some smaller schools and stuff. And I don't have all the names right off top of hand. But there's quite a few, like I said, there's a good handful of them out there that the Saints could be a player.
But I do think that that's a role that we do need. Now, I know we just re-signed Cadet.
Yeah.
I'd love Cadet.
Speaking of, Speaking of wanting to see us upgrade.
Yeah,
you know?
I mean, listen, I don't dislike Cadet. I think he's plays to the maximum of his God-given ability. But I just don't think if you're talking about a playoff team, I don't think he has enough to give. And so he's a guy that I'd like to see them upgrade. And if the Saints could get back to that that offense where they had a running back that could, you know, run the ball a little bit, but just a lot of those – I hate to call them checkdowns, but little option routes is a better way of saying it. You know, you get a matchup on a linebacker, and it's not a 60-yard touchdown. It's a 4-yard reception and a first down, and that keeps the drive alive.
And
we need a little bit of that.
Well, I would agree with Heath in saying that, man, I really like Lasko. I liked him last year when we talked about him in the draft. And I think the reason the Saints are high on him is because he shows some skills, but also because, again, he's under that rookie contract. The reason you're not signing Hightower is because his contract is going to be more. You know, it's just like Fairley. We gave Hightower a chance when nobody else wanted him, but he signed for a really low contract. You know, now he played with a lot of heart. I love the guy as far as heart's concerned. But, you know, it's time for us to say, look, we have to have a decision and we need to make something happen at running back. And we really, when we had someone like Bush, when we had somebody like Sproles, man, our offense really clicked. You know, well, Hightower's not like either one of those guys. Besides McCaffrey from Stanford,
right?
You got Gallman from Clemson, Days from North Carolina State. The guy I really like, McGuire from University of Louisiana Lafayette, one of my alma maters. there are a lot of kids in this draft that aren't going to be in the first, second, or third round. They could still fill in for that. Now McCaffrey will be, obviously. McGuire, the kid from Southwest Louisiana, ULL, you know, he's really a top quality back. And he's probably going to be around in the third or fourth. See, this is why I don't want to give up a third or a fourth, because he'll be around at that point and you'll be able to pick him up, you know. So I don't think, as much as I like Hightower, he's one of those guys that if he hasn't signed by the time camp starts, you know, if we have nothing, we didn't pick up anything in the draft, I mean, a lot of ifs. He might end up getting another short-term contract. But I just don't see it at this point. I think we're going to go with Ingram, Lasko. And I think the reason they signed Cadet is because he knows the system, and he might not be the fastest guy, but he knows the system. And he contributes in special team as well as contributing as a running back coming out the backfield. So I think if you add up the positives against the negatives – that's why they re-signed Cadet.
Yeah.
So,
well,
I agree.
I think that us getting this podcast out on Sunday, we've continued to help Gary's sex life.
Yeah.
I think that's positive. And in return, Gary, and this is a small thing to ask, I would like for you to give us a call on the hotline and give us your feedback as a big Detroit Lion fan. He already gave me a little breakdown, but I would like to see him give his thoughts for all of us in Saints Nation to hear about Larry Warford. He told me he really liked the guy. He was sad to see him go. He said that we got a hell of a player. But I'd like to – and, you know, Gary's pretty analytical.
Yeah.
So I'd like to see hear what Gary has to say. So, Gary, when you're doing your workout, listening to the podcast, hit the hotline, give us a call, and give us your breakdown on Larry Warford. What you think of him as a player, why you think Detroit didn't sign him. And I'm just realizing that we may not have talked about this on air, but you were talking about there was a post on Saints Report. Sorry. This was some thoughts I had when we were talking. We weren't recording. There was a post on Saints Report, and it was a guy who claimed to be a college-level football player who wanted to know about Tim Lelito and in return gave his thoughts on Warford, and they weren't very positive. You know, they were – and there were some other things, too, that Heath was saying.
It was just a few days before we signed him. I had happened to – I'm not saying that's when the article came out, but when I saw it, it was just a couple of days before we signed Warford. I guess it was probably a Lions beat writer or one of them that had written up something about, that the Lions were going to be active in the free agent market at guard. And that was surprising to some people that, I guess most people assumed that they would try to re-sign Warford, and then all of a sudden it looked like they were ready to go in a different direction. Of course, that's ultimately what they did. Warford signed with the Saints. Lions signed a guy from
Lang
from Green Bay, I think. And so, you know, yeah. And then the guy comes along on that you was talking about. I saw that post on Saints Report. Michigan, you know, a Lion fan from up there in Michigan and all that, you know, didn't. He didn't say the guy was guard. If I recall, he said that he looked good originally under the old coaching staff.
Right.
Because they ran one scheme on the offensive line, and then the new staff came in. And but what caught my attention was that he said they switched to a zone blocking scheme.
Right.
And we all know the Saints, with, you know, we didn't run a zone blocking, and we drafted Ingram, and he ran behind a zone blocking scheme at Alabama, and then we ran a zone blocking scheme here in New Orleans, and things looked better. Do we still really run the zone blocking scheme? Has that changed? I don't know. I certainly don't pretend to know about offensive line scheme and all of that kind of stuff. But it does make me wonder about Warford.
Yeah.
And how, you know, how big of a fish was he really at that position in free agency?
Well, I'm going to wait till Gary gives us a breakdown, but I'll just give a hint to what I believe at this point is that a lot of times, like you were saying, Heath, you change a coaching system, you change a coach, and suddenly the players don't have the same output. You know what I mean? I believe our defensive backs did so well last year, even these guys that were from off the street, because we hired a guy to be a defensive backfield coach who really can coach. You know? Now, we added an extra guy who used to play for the Saints in the backfield, Lee Torrance. He's going to assist. And the fact defensive backfield. So, see, if we have that kind of coach, and we have changed quite a few coaches, including the offensive line coach. So, and Warford was a Kentucky product. And, you know, he played very well at Kentucky while he was at Kentucky. So, he may not be. What I had read was that he's really good as a run and on the sweeps and that kind of thing. Not so much in pass defense. But I'm going to wait to hear what Gary has to say, and I'll do a little more research myself to see what they have to say about it.
All right. So, Heath, any final thoughts?
No.
All right. Not. Thank you for your input, brother. Tomas?
We did ask you. I already left it out on the field, man. He left it out on the field.
I got nothing left. Yeah, I got nothing left. But I just say I'm excited to see what's going to happen, now, especially now as we move forward and get a little bit more insight into the people that we did sign and how they're going to fit into the process. And, you know, now let's get our draft going. And don't forget to answer the question, because it's related to the draft, that was put out there.
Does it have to be defense, or can we go BPA?
That's correct.
If the right offensive player is there.
There you go. And, you know, Fournette's still on the board, you know. Then, you know, that'd be our guy, apparently. And we'll send Ingram.
The thing is, I don't want everybody to quit listening to us, but but I want to step out and say that, and I love Fournette at LSU. Just something about it, and then it was reinforced by the combine. I don't know. I just, there's something that tells me that he's. I'm not saying he's gonna be bad. Just he won't be the next Adrian Peterson. That just something about it says that he's gonna be.
No, he's not that.
He's gonna be a LeGarrette Blunt, you know, better version.
It depends on the team that picks him and what they make use of him. Jacksonville would be a perfect fit for him.
You know, either way, no matter what he does wind up becoming in the NFL, it doesn't seem to suit what the Saints do.
No, absolutely right. And when you got Ingram to the point that you have him and he's still got years left, you know.
A guy like Dalvin Cook would probably be much more suited to the way the Saints use a running back.
You know, and I heard a lot about him and how he would fit, and in his combine, again, me talking about those numbers. Man, I want to see that guy with that explosive, you know.
Don't put so much weight in that combine.
I know. He's a dynamic player, and that's what matters, what you see on the field.
Yeah. But, look at the tape. Look at the game tape.
So my final thoughts, 38 days, 23 hours, 1 minute, and 58 seconds to the draft. I'm getting excited.
38 days.
And then we got this basketball. The longer it goes on, that's just 1 week closer that I have something to be excited about until the draft. Because as soon as this is over –
Yeah.
So did you ever tell me who your final four were?
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, man.
As long as Kentucky's in there playing basketball, then
I got Kentucky going to the very end.
Yeah.
So I got them in the final game.
I have a hard time seeing it, man. They are just so young and they're talented. Yeah. They're fun to watch, man. But they do the.
When you've watched them play this season, they have incredible talent. They have spurs. They could really blow out a lot of teams, but they don't. So to me, this is a positive. Because they've been in so many games that you're, like, sweating, hoping that they're going to win the game, just like today's game.
I mean, they should have blown away.
They just have those moments where they go 4 or 5 minutes without scoring.
Exactly. And it's like, exactly.
Oh, God.
And they are young and they make stupid mistakes, you know. So, but they won this game. I think that gives them a little more oomph, you know, as it were. Yeah. And so, you know, I have them going all the way to the final game against Gonzaga.
With these one and done teams that Kentucky puts on the court, it's a matter of I got my right hand up high and I got my left hand down low. And the left hand is like, can they get, like, they're going to get better. They're going to get significantly better throughout the season. And can they get all the way to the top, or do they just, you know, just a matter of how good can they get, how quick? If they were two and duns, if they ever changed the rule to two and duns, Kentucky would win the national championship every year.
Yeah.
But they just, these kids, they so talented. You could see it. Athletic. But they play so out of control. Although,
sometimes
I tell you, the SEC tournament and the so far in the NCAA tournament, they look like they are getting better. So, with these teams, you just don't know. You just don't know.
Just letting you know, I have them in my final four, and I have them in the final two. But I don't have them winning. No. So, there you go. Mm-hmm. I know.
All right.
All right.
Well, anyway, for Heath Elson-San and Tomas Mauricio,
yes,
this is Dave Romero. You've been listening to the BS and Beer podcast. We will talk to you next week.
Bye-bye.
And anyway, the person who sits here is but the most conspicuous member of a superb team of journalists, writers, reporters, editors, producers, and none of that will change. Furthermore, I'm not going away. I'll be back.
And that's the way it is.